Father, thank you so much. I'm honored to be an under-shepherd at this great church, Father. I humble myself before you, Father, acknowledging without you, I am absolutely nothing. But with you, I can do all things, Father. There's nothing that's impossible for me to do because of you, because of what's happened at Calvary, Father. So, Father, I receive my full all the manifested blessing, Father, that you have for me, Father. I receive my salvation. I receive victory over poverty and victory over sickness and disease, Father. And I thank you that as a believer, you've given us authority over all of the powers of darkness, Father. So, Father, we stand boldly and we sit boldly in here this morning, Father, knowing full well that we are the head and not the tail, that we're above and not beneath. Glory to God. We are the blessed and not the cursed. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let us go to Hebrews for a moment, the third chapter of Hebrews. And I think I saw it in our program that, for the scripture for the week. Hebrews, we're talking about faith. And quickly again, I had a couple of definitions last time, which says faith is complete trust in someone or something. Complete trust, not partial trust, but complete trust. Then we also said that faith is a positive response to the Word of God. So once you hear, read the Word of God, then you respond positively to that. That is called faith. And you will not learn everything that you need. God will not unfold 100% of the plan for your life at one time. He'll only give you a step at a time. As you take those steps, he will reveal what's involved in that next step. And until you get to the point where he wants to have you at, so it takes faith to take step number one, and then on and on. Are these monitors causing that or something? Or you think so? Monitors? Okay. All right, so, okay. So in Hebrews chapter 3, everybody there? I want to read verse, just the first verse in Hebrews chapter 3, because one of the things that is so very important, well, before we get there, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. So keep your finger in Hebrews. That's why God gave you all of those fingers. So you can have one in one page and go somewhere else. Faith is so very important. The Word of God is so very important. I love it when people understand that they need the Word of God. We try, oh, saints of God, we try to do stuff our own way. And year after year, we fail at it. And you can do your thing your own way, but my question is always, how is that working out for you? You know, doing it your way. I mean, are you where you need to be? Are you? Do you have the level of joy that you want? Do you have the level of peace that you want? How's your pocketbook doing? Amen. You know, on and on and on. And so we try to do just enough to get over. And see, that's that street mentality that we all bring to the church. We're going to do just enough to get over. But God ain't just a just enough God. You got to sell out. Just like, you know, many folks sold out to substances and all of these other things, men and women and bad habits, you got to sell out to God the same way if you want complete victory in your life. And the more you sell out, the stronger you're going to get in the Word of God. And you got to know this also, you know, everybody likes being lacked. But when you start to sell out, you know, people will not understand that you done sold out. And so they will do everything to convince you not to sell out or talk about you so bad or ostracize you, you know, that you're going to feel like that you're on an island by yourself. But you can't worry about that, because there's no man here on earth, no woman here on earth that can save you. That died for your sins and can cause you to have everlasting life in a good place. And so we acknowledge and fully understand that the Word of God, God and His Word are the same. When you see the Word of God, it's just like God is in your house when you read the Word of God in the house, because His Word is the same. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." Not, you know, that ain't something that somebody found in some caves. And that's when they found, you know, some of the manuscripts. But in the beginning was the Word. Amen. And the Word was with us, John 1:1. And so, Jesus, glory to God, he is the living Word, because that 14th verse, it says that, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we have the Logos here, the written Word. Jesus is the living Word, and the Father is the Word. Glory to God. Amen. And when you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says that he that come to God, everybody there? Amen. Glory to God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. They're talking about God here. Without faith, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the basics of faith. Once again, we said faith is complete trust in someone or something. Everybody in here has faith, whether you know it or not. Because if you got a job, you are trusting that boss is going to do what they said he's going to do, or he or she's going to pay you at the end of the week, the end of 2 weeks, whatever y'all agreed upon, the end of the month, or what have you. Matter of fact, you believed it so much you went out and bought a car and an apartment, because somebody, some man, some cigar-smoking, cognac-drinking man told you that he was going to pay you, reward you, compensate you for what your work has done. Now, the one that has created all of us, when he tell us to do something, we want 9 different, witnesses. You know, how do I know it's you, God? If this is really you, God, what I'm going to do, I'm going to walk in the backyard, and then if it's really you, God, the dog will be singing the Star Spangled Banner. So that's what we got to do. God got to jump all through all them kind of hoops for us to believe him. But God's not going to jump through all those kind of hoops for you. You either believe him or you don't. You either trust God or you don't. You either get saved or you don't. Amen. You either believe or you don't. Amen. But if you do, it's called faith. And if you start trusting God to supply your need, trusting God to sustain your health, trusting God to make you a better husband, a better wife, or what have you, all of those things will happen. Trusting God to help you with substance abuse or spouse abuse or whatever kind of abuse that we go through, then you can get out of that. There is nothing that is too hard for God. No thing on earth is too hard for God. And so you have to understand that. So Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith," or with no faith, "it is impossible to please God." Why? "For he that comes to God must believe that he is," that God is. And a lot of people don't believe. Well, I don't believe in God. And if God was really there, why does he permit all of this stuff that goes on the earth? Well, that's easy to answer. Ain't nothing complicated about that. Well, you got to understand something, that God gave the lease to this earth over to Adam and Eve. Amen. He gave it over to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve basically gave the lease away in the garden. Amen. And in order for God just to get mankind back in right standing with him, he had a plan that required the birth of a man to come and sacrifice himself. See, Jesus was God in the flesh. Amen. But he was not conceived by the seed of a mortal. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, because the blood of a child comes from the father. So if a man could have caused Mary to become pregnant with the Savior, then it wouldn't have done any good, because his blood would have been just like your blood or my blood, trying to save somebody. But God had a plan. He could have just bogarted in his back, but see, God honors his word. Amen. He gave it to man, and so man had to get the keys back. Glory to God. Now, there are things, it's like, boy, this is a whole nother lesson all together, talking about the sovereignty of God. Because I hear people all the time talking about, well, God is sovereign. And I know what they mean, you know, is stuff happening in people's life, and so they will just say, God is sovereign. Somebody died premature, God is sovereign. On and on and on. Some of the biggest lies you hear is at funerals. Amen. Really? The Lord needed another angel in the choir, and he came and took your grandson or whoever, because he needed another angel in the choir. Well, humans are humans, and angels are angels. Amen. So that's not it, but we hear all of these spiritual cliches from what we consider credible others, and we believe it. And so you have to, that's why Timothy told Paul, Paul told Timothy to study this word so you can rightly divide it. In other words, because if it was not possibly to wrongly divide the word of God, he never would have said rightly divided. So there's been a lot of wrong division of the word of God, and we all have been mistaught to some degree or another. But when we stick to what the word says, we'll always come out on top. Because people will argue with you about what a song say. You'll tell them what the word say, and then they'll tell you about what the song say. The song. Glory to God. You know, it's just amazing. And so it's important that we get into that word of God and allow the word to get into us. We've got to fall in love. Doesn't happen overnight, because so you have to start reprocessing all of this. With the moment you get saved, you have the same squirrely mind that you had when you first came in church. That's why you find people are saved 10, 15, 20, 25 years, and they don't act any different. The reason is that at salvation, the only part of us changed is our spirit. We are made out of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. I am a spirit. I have a soul. My soul consists of my mind, my will, my imagination, my emotions, my intellect. That's the soulless realm. And then all of that is housed on the inside of this great temple that's called a body. At salvation, the only part of me that gets changed is my spirit. My spirit is brand new, 100% pure, 100% holy, just as holy as Jesus' spirit. Yours is too, by the way. Amen. But the mind has to be renewed with the word of God. And that's why you'll find people that can go to church and none of their bad habits never stop, because they do not allow the word of God to come in and to renew or reprogram the way that they think. And so the same old mess they did before they got saved, they're doing it after they got saved, because they haven't understood how important the word of God is, and that you cannot get that done without the word of God. And that's why you see, when you go to the club, that's why you see Christians in the club. Because the word of God, it has not changed the way that they're thinking yet, because they haven't spent any time with the word of God. The only time they get word is the scripture that we have on Sunday and whatever we have on Wednesday. That's not enough. You have to have a private time at home, and make sure you come every time that we got the Bible open, that you come in to hear it. Then your mind will start to change. Your mind will start to become renewed. And that gin and juice that you thought you could not do without, you'll find out that you don't even like it no more. Glory to God. And then you'll find that you have more money in your pocket because you ain't buying weed and liquor all the time. Which will suck up a whole lot of money out your pocket. Amen. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists. And see, you got to understand that God is not a punisher. A lot of people think God is just around just to punish us. He's just sitting at this big old control board, just waiting just to zap you. As soon as you're like, just zap you, heart attack, zick. I had somebody tell me one time, well, he said, well, the Lord put this stroke on me to slow me down. I said this to myself. I said, if you really believe that, then why are you at the hospital trying to get the will of God off you then? Why don't you just stay crippled? See, that is, we say stuff because we hear foolishness from other Christians. You know, the Lord did it, the Lord put it on me and stuff. Well, you know, you don't eat right, and you let your blood pressure, you know, be over 180 and 190 and 200, you know, that could happen to you. Amen. Every time I see you, you got a drumstick in your hand and a bag of skins. That's what causes stress. That's what caused the stroke. Amen. And so we blame it. Well, God is sovereign. Well, God, you know, God didn't buy them skins. You bought them skins. Amen. Glory to God. God left you in charge of you. You are a free moral agent. If God's going to make you do anything, don't you think he would have made you get saved? You know, when it took him 40, 50 years to make you get saved? Amen. God gave all of us a will. We can either, Christianity is so simple. So simple. Either saved or you're not. After you die, two addresses. Not three. Not four. Two addresses. Heaven, hell. Heaven, hell. No purgatory. You ain't gonna be able to give somebody some money. We pray you out of hell. Be kind of nice if you can do that. Heaven or hell. Amen. You don't exceed. The only thing that will send you to hell is not drinking gin and juice and smoking weed. It's rejecting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. So God is not a punisher, but he is a rewarder. You got to understand, he's a good God. Boy, all of us don't know how many times God done saved us. You're wild and crazy days, and you're acting foolish and stuff. And FBI, you didn't even know the FBI was right next to you, right in the room next to you. You got a pound of cocaine in the room. But the Lord, you know, the Lord, that's mercy. That's mercy. Amen. So, man, oh, man, you won't know until you get to heaven how many times you've been rescued. You don't know how many car accidents you done missed. Running your mouth on that phone. Amen. But that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got to seek God. God said, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you knock, the door will be open. He's not here. Glory to God. He's a good God. Now let's go back to the third chapter of Hebrews. Glory, 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 glory. Boy, if we stick with the word of God, I'm going to start offering people a contract. I'm going to say this, that give us 6 months. You come every Sunday, every Wednesday, and every special meeting that we have. And if in 6 months you don't see a difference in your life, and also you on the Bible reading program, if you don't see some change in your life, we will put an ad in the newspaper that the Word of God don't work. And it's no way that you can do that. I was thinking about that the other day. I said, ain't no way you can come to Vicar Christian Center every Sunday and every Wednesday and you were on the Bible reading program, and your life is not changing, the way you thinking doesn't change, it will change you. And the reason people don't come or on a regular basis is because they don't want to stop doing what they're doing. Why? Because sin is fun. It is fun. That's the only reason we sin, because it was fun. But the Word of God took the thrill out of it for me. Like BB said, the thrill was gone. Going away for good. You take the thrill out of it, you will stop doing it. Amen. You take the thrill out of it. And so what seemed like is fun is not really fun. Because, see, when you shine light on a situation, you can see a whole lot better. And when we doing all this wrongness, we in darkness. That's why we don't see. That's why, you will come up with all kinds of stuff. Well, you say, well, Pastor, you know, Jesus drank wine. He made the wine at the wedding, didn't he? Only scripture in the Bible that you know. Jesus turned the water into wine. Glory to God. You just got to say, well, Pastor, I just like me some. Just go on and say that. God can work with that. But, you know, all these excuses that we got, you got to tell God, say, God, I just like smoking weed. Glory to God. God will help you out. Amen. You start finding up and it don't be good no more. It starts stinking and you say, why am I buying this stuff? It'll just go. Amen. But you got to be in the Word to do it. You can't do it without the Word. The Word and the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost, too, to help you out. It'll change your life, saints. It will change your life. Amen. If folks ain't changed, they ain't really listening to me on Sunday. Why? I've seen people, there's people that's going to church here for years. I'm not kidding you. I haven't seen nothing change. In the same place, spiritually. How can you do that? Amen. How can you do that? Well, because see what the devil does. Oh, that's why I hate him. Everybody say, ugh! Hate him. Goodness. What the devil does, see, the devil will suck want to out of you. You ain't even got no want to no more. Amen. That's a bad place to get when you don't even have want to. He just done sucked it out of you. Every dream you had, it's been dashed. But this, God is the dream restorer if you just give him a chance. If you just give him a chance. You hearing this stuff, but you got to do something with it. Faith comes by hearing, but now that you heard it, what you going to do with it? Amen. You got to do something with what you're hearing out of the book, and it will change your life. It's not abracadabra. You know, because if we have lines, most Sundays is you can't even hardly get down here. Why? Because everybody's looking for the microwave fix. Pastor, get some oil. Elders, get some oil. Put that oil on us. You know, tie y'all. Everything going to be all right. No, it's Word. You still got to get that Word of God on the inside of you. Everybody looking for a shortcut. Look, I don't look for, there ain't no shortcuts. I would have found the short. Believe me, I would have found the shortcut. You got to get into that Word of God and let the Word of God get on the inside of you, and it will start to change you. Amen. You'll be a better husband, a better wife. Amen. You ain't spending all the house money on weed and gin and juice all the time. Every week you're talking about, you know, well, you ain't nobody rob you every week. You done mess up the money, so you're under the tree about 2 hours trying to come up with a lie. Say, well, I got robbed again. Well, you might want to consider direct deposit. That'll get rid of robbery, too. Golly. Man, oh, man. Y'all found Hebrews 3 yet? The Word of God says in this is so powerful. Wherefore, chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren. Wonder who that holy brethren is, Sister Gwen? That's us. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. See, they talk about us. See, when you read that, you think they talk about you, just the apostles. See, we sin will have you thinking you ain't nobody, you ain't nothing. No, you are a holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Then what it says, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession or our confession. Amen. Who is that, Pastor? That's Christ Jesus. Amen. In other words, we got to understand, saints of God, that the word of God coming out of the mouth of a faith-filled person is full of power and authority because we have a high priest. The word of God here says that Jesus is the apostle and the high priest of our confession or what we say. Glory to God. Look at the sign. The sign says today there is a miracle in your mouth. What are you speaking? I can't even get people to confess stuff over themselves. You got to be lazy if you won't confess. Goodness. You got a high priest. Ooh, Jesus. A high priest that is backing up every confession that you make that's in line with the word of God. So you can't come up with something squirrely. It's well, I confess that I'm hitting Powerball this week. He ain't gonna back that up. Amen. Because if he let you hit it, then he's gonna have to let me hit it. And every other Christian in here hit it. Amen. Glory to God. So what you say, and that's why, and y'all have heard me say this many a time, that's why you got to stop lying. Some of the biggest lies I know are Christians. They just lie. How you going to have an apostle over your confession? Your confession ain't even the truth. Amen. That's why your things don't change, because we just like anything coming out of our mouth. The doctor said you got 3 days. You know, you go, you be crying a lot. Hey, I got 3 days. 3 days, I'm gone. I'll curse that in the doctor's office. Praise God all the way home. Get the word of God out. And start putting my words in place so that my apostle, my personal apostle and high priest can get in the agreement with what's coming out of my mouth. You want to change your marriage, y'all start getting together on what do you want, sister, brother, what do you want out of your marriage? You start putting that together and let the high priest start working on your behalf. Lord Jesus, my. Amen. Glory to God. A lot of people just complacent with what's going on. No. It's got to be, you know, that life is too short for us to be miserable. Amen. Boy, the worst thing I can find is somebody to be miserable in marriage. I'd be saying, oh, my goodness. You know, I'll be there. I say, how in the world do they do that? This misery. They're glad somebody come over to the house. Say, brother, you got to leave already? Yeah, brother, I got to go. I got to go. Amen. What are you saying? What are you speaking over your children? Amen. Glory to God. What are you singing? Are you singing that stuff we heard down in Mexico? Y'all heard me Wednesday. We had a wonderful trip. But every venue we went to that was open air, you know, they had great sound systems, but it was some of the most vile rap you would want to hear. And everybody knew it. Because I was watching people, their mouth was going around. I said, okay. Amen. But that's the kind of stuff, saints of God. See, you can't have water and wine come out of the same faucet. Amen. You can't have blessing and cursing coming out of the same faucet. You got to make up in your mind what you want. Do you want God's best? And if you want God's best, you ought to want to be around God's best. Amen. Most of us can't stand around being around God's best. I like hanging with the saints, but I know I can't hang with them long because I make them uneasy. I do. I just about to tell you, I love hanging out. But most folks don't understand it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Glory to God. But no, if we ain't going to be able to do our thing if he's wrong. Well, what thing is that? Glory to God. What thing you want to do? That I got to, you got to hide it from me. What about the high priest in you? Yeah, yeah. Glory to God. Y'all giving man too much credit, the high priest. Yeah, yeah. Come on, saints. Yeah, yeah. Amen. So usually I'll just, especially at weddings and stuff at a certain time, I'll just disappear. I'd be like, let me say, where's Basil? Baby, he been gone 30 minutes. Amen. Glory to God. So we have a high priest, saints of God, but we've got to learn if we want our lives to change, we got to start watching what we say. Proverbs. Man, oh man, this series might take longer than I thought. Who said that? Not everybody got all day. Glory to God. Amen. You better over here think about the buffet. Y'all talking about they ain't got a whole day. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of your tongue. And they that love what? You know, what you're saying shall eat the fruit thereof. Your death and your life, your victory or your defeat, your blessing or your cursing is in the power of your tongue. Amen. You can't, see, oh goodness. That's why you're not under no obligation. You got to tell everybody what's wrong with you. By the time you spend, you done told 19 people, that thing just getting more and more of a foothold on you every time you talk, or talk to somebody. You know, just say, well, I believe him well. Believe as well. Amen. You got to watch your confession. We'll get on the line with everybody. We got to tell, girl, back been hurt me. Ankle ain't been right for about 6 months. We just go on and, organ recital, just on and on and on. We got to say what we want, not what we have. Speak the word. Death and life. In the power of what? Amen. Of your tongue, not my tongue, your tongue. We are today because of what we said yesterday. Proverbs 6. Verse 2, Proverbs 6 and 2. Amen. He says in verse 2, thou art a snare. A snare is a trap. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of your mouth. Words coming out of your mouth. Well, see, that's the way of the world. The way of the world is everybody deceptive. People don't really tell you what they're thinking. They'll get politically correct with you and just kind of icing everything up. And even married couples, you got boundaries. You can't go. But there should be no boundaries. You got to say stuff in love now. Amen. You just can't, it depends upon how much time. You got some time in, you may be able to get away with some stuff.
that you can see. But if you ain't got enough time in yet, you got to be, you know, you got to know that. Amen. Who have an Amplified Bible? Who's got an iPad? Activate 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Do I have a copy of that in here? I want to read that love chapter. Anybody got a copy of that? I used to keep a copy in this Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8a in the Amplified. Oh, yeah, you got one back there? Yeah. May I have it? Thank you. Amen. See, we say we love one another, but we love based on our definition of love. As Christians, we got to use God's definition. Here is the best definition I have ever seen about love. Y'all ready for this? Look at somebody and say, are you ready for this? Glory to God. This is in the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 4 through verses 8. The A part of the verse, of verse 8. Here we go. 13, verse 8. 4. Thank you. 13:4. Love endures long. Endure long. Long. You know, you done fell out on the honeymoon. Long. Long, and is patient, and is kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. It's not envious, doesn't boil over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Love, this is not verse 5, it is not conceited, it's not arrogant and inflated with pride. Love is not rude, which means unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Let me say that again. Does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. Amen. It's not self-seeking. See, a lot of times people get married for the wrong reason. It's self-seeking. What can he do for me? What can she do for me? Self-seeking. Now, it goes on to say, love is not touchy. Can't talk to you without you getting touchy. Don't you say that about my mama. Well, some things need to be said. In love. It's not touchy. It's not fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil that has been done to it. Well, some of y'all got lists. Takes no account of the evil that's been done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Did me wrong? Okay. I ain't keeping no list. Why? Because God's not keeping no list. Amen. See, you can tell when the words start getting on. Now, see, this chapter is not meant for people to run over you or for you to let people to run over you. So you have to be very careful. Because people are saying, well, you know what Pastor said about the love chapter? Amen. It ain't for abuse. Improper use. Now, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Ain't nothing, should nothing come up, saints of God, in Vicar Christian Center that love cannot conquer it for us. Nothing. Folks get mad at you. Look at them wrong. Oh, they just looked at me wrong. That's why I don't go no more. Goodness. Every time he start preaching about fornication and adultery, just be looking over in my area. That's why I stopped going. Okay. Bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. We do the opposite. We hear something bad. I know that. I know something wasn't right about her. But we ought to be able to believe the best of every person, thanks to God. Every person. Every person. But we want to do what the opposite is. We want to believe the worst. Love this chapter. Let me go on and finish it. It is the hope of love is never faithless. It's faithless under all circumstances. And look what it says. It endures everything without weakening. Endures everything without weakening. Endures everything without weakening. Now, this is the A part of the eighth verse. Love never fails. Everybody say never fails. We're talking about the God kind of love now. We're not talking about eros. Amen. That fails. Amen. Because that can fail real fast. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or come to an end. Oh, see, all those other things we won't need to speak in tongue and prophesy when we get when we get to heaven. We're still going to need to walk in love, though. You won't need to lay hands on people for sickness and disease. We're still going to need to walk in love. See, love is where faith cannot work without love. Amen. And Hebrews 11 says, but without faith is what? Impossible to please God. So if you really want to please God, it's more than just faith you need to know about. You need to know about love also. Now, I understand why people have a hard time with love. It all depends upon how you grew up, how you've been treated as you've been growing up, how you've been treated in America. Some folks will suck the very life out of you. Amen. But if you will allow God to do that, he can restore broken hearts and all of the hurt that we come across as we're growing up, you know, either being in the wrong place or making consistently making the wrong decision. God can fix all of that. Because it takes love for a church. We got, you know, we got 100 member mega church here. And you know, we got folks from different ethnicities, different backgrounds, genders. Some went to church, some didn't go to church, and we all you know, trying to come in harmony. It takes love to do that. It takes love, and that's why we have to be patient and kind with one another, because we are spiritually all on different levels, and so that's why you will find me repeating stuff. A lot of explaining stuff, because what you already know, somebody new does not understand some of the jargon that we're using, because they didn't, you know, they haven't been in church long enough yet. But if you are enduring, put that hand down, please. Thank you. But if you're enduring, if you allow the Word of God to come in, it will change your life, saints, and love. It's so very important. Once again, you do not let people misuse your love or abuse your love because folks will try to do that, because when you're walking in love, people will think you're weak. It takes strength to not exact some punishment on some people. Amen. It takes a strong man to do that. Take a strong man. Amen. So ain't nothing weak about walking in love. You got to be strong. You got to be strong to walk in love, men and women of God. Amen. Glory to God. And it takes a while, and you've got to be patient. Married people, you got to be patient with one another. Amen. If whoever having their way all the time in the marriage, that ain't right. You can't have your way all the time. No, ain't nobody told me nothing. Why you looking at me like that? You just can't have your way all the time. If I don't get my way, I'm locking it down.
Second Corinthians warned us about that. Amen. He said, defraud ye not. Lest, I'm paraphrasing now, lest you open the door to the tempter. Glory to God. Amen. You got somebody in a lockdown, the next day they shopping at Publix, and just happen to be looking at the gummy bears, and the cart hit something. And next thing you know, that go to cheerleaders that y'all dated all through high school. She looking good. You looking good. Glory to God. Now you done let the devil in. Amen. Simply because we had to have our way. Saints, there's a war going on. It's a spiritual war going on. Every day that you live and breathe, Satan or one of his demons trying to figure out how can I make her, him, or him miserable. You better believe that. You say, I don't want to be in no war. Well, you in it, whether you want to be in it or not. And so that's why you better educate yourself on the spiritual weapons that you have. Stand on the word of God. Amen. You are never ever to fear the devil or any of his henchmen. He doesn't have the power just to come in and overrun us or overbear us. Amen. We have authority. And you got to know that. But you won't know it if you're not getting the word of God. Amen. You won't be surrendering your authority if you're resisting the word of God and you feel like you got to have, well, see, Pastor, you just don't understand. I just need a little weed at night. I have to get the edge knocked off. What edge? Why you got an edge? You got an edge that the word can't knock off? Goodness. See, that's just a crutch. But I'm not trying to condemn anybody because I know any abuse is strong. It's a stronghold. But just like a stronghold is built up brick by brick, the word of God will tear it apart brick by brick. That's why I say just continue to come. When your seat get a little hot, just smile. Don't nobody know the seat hot but you. Just smile. And God will get you through that and stuff. Because sometimes if you in a church and you don't hear something that make you mad, you really not in a good church. Because everybody, want to hold on to a little something they don't want to give up. Don't quit coming to church. That's going to change your life. You just keep coming. Just keep coming. Then your morals will get stronger. Your holiness and will get stronger. Your righteousness will get stronger. You become a better person. Amen. I understand it's not 360 overnight for most people. I understand that. But God is a good God. And we are a good people. Amen. Patient and kind. So get that love chapter and read it every day. I always tell couples, read this thing regular. Amen. Because the enemy... I tell you, the enemy is always trying to get in and mess up some marriages. Y'all honeymooning, y'all think, boy, they plotting. How are we going to get them? Amen. You got to understand, there's a war. Once again, for we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Glory to God. But against the powers and principalities and the rulers of darkness. Amen. So there's a war going on. And that war it's so cute. It's so cute. I see people getting their little fatigues, say, well, we finna do some warfare. Child, please. These fatigues ain't gonna help you. Now, I understand the symbolism behind it. But it's a spiritual war. We need fatigues. Is like when they was in Kuwait and stuff. That's why you wear the fatigues and stuff over there. But this is a spiritual war. This is your weapon, the word of God. Amen. The word of the living God, believed and coming out of your mouth like you believe it on a regular basis. You can't just say it just one time.
Amen. Sometimes you have to say it for months and months and months for them devils to start leaving you alone. Why? Because you done lied so many times, they just waiting to see. It's just a matter of time before you're going to quit again. Amen. But that word keep coming out of your mouth, they say, uh-oh, we done lost her. We done lost her. But he'll be back, so don't let your guard down, because they will be back. But the word of God is the answer for everything that ails. Amen. I'm going to stop here, saints of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Praise God. I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I said something that's actually profound. I said it earlier. The only thing that will cause you to go to hell is not the things that you do. It is rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. How do you reject him? By not acknowledging him as Lord. You have to say this with your mouth. Confession, Romans 10, say we have to confess with our mouth. Amen. We have an apostle and a high priest of our confession. His name is Jesus. You have to say it with your mouth, saint to God, over and over and over and over. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. I mean, it's ongoing. You need to hear yourself say, you know, that I'm a woman of God. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of integrity. I'm a man of integrity. Glory to God. I'm healed. I'm well. I'm proud. You know, whatever it is you need to say, you've got to say it on a consistent and a regular basis coming out of your mouth. Amen. Salvation comes by confessing or accepting Jesus Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. So if you're in here today, you don't know whether you're saved or not, and you want to be saved, simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I don't want to leave out of here without Jesus. Is that you? You don't know whether you're saved or not, or you know you're not saved and you want to be saved. There is no way. Jesus said, I am the way, only way. You know, you hear all of these shows now, they say, well, there's many ways to God. Well, that's not what the books say. That's what the gurus say. But the books say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says no man can come to the Father except by him. Glory to God. He died for us so that we wouldn't have to die that second death. See, the graveyard death is not the one you ought to be concerned about. It's that second death when you go to hell is what you got to be concerned about. Amen. Because if Jesus tarry, we're all going the route of the grave. You know, whether you live your 120, say you live 200. But if Jesus don't come back for 220 years, you know, you will go the route of the grave. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Is that you that needs to be saved? You're on the fence. You say, I got one foot over and one on the other. Well, that's a bad place to be. Get off the fence. Secondly, every Christian, everyone that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There is an experience that happens subsequent to or after salvation called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost is involved with your new birth because he restores or renews your spirit. But you want the Holy Ghost to be with you. Jesus left the Holy Spirit back here for us. We're not here on earth by ourselves. He's our comforter, our guide, our teacher. Amen. It's like having your own GPS and early warning system on the inside of you. Amen. And so when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll be just like the church. The beginning of the church as we know it now started in the book of Acts. They were all in this upper room, and the word of God says that there was a sound as of a mighty rushing wind that came in. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so don't try to let your PhD mind talk you out of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So, well, I just don't understand it. Well, you don't understand how your car works either, but you get in it every day and drive it around.
You receive it by faith. Amen. You understand how x-ray work, but you go get one every year, mammograms and all, and checks, x-rays and all this other kind of stuff. Get them every year. You don't understand it, but you do it because the doctor said it. Well, pastor said, amen, that we need the Holy Ghost because that's what the book says. Amen. Do you want the Holy Spirit? He's available. Lastly, if you don't have a church home, everybody need a good church home. Look at somebody and say, you need a good church home. Everybody need a good church home.